This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. I am Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. And it's mock draft season. We haven't done as many of them as we would have typically at this point because it just feels like there's been news and whatnot that has continued to crop up. But this will be mock draft 2.0. It will be a three-round mock. So we won't be going through every pick that's made the way we did the last time with all of the two-round mock because there's just not enough time to do it. We'll go through the first round in the sense of like, okay, the picks off the board prior to your pick. And we'll mention a few as we go through the rest, some notable ones. But, you know, we're mostly just going to stick to the picks that were made because there are four of them to go through. So there's going to be a lot to talk about. So
like we said before getting into this, though, breaking news, folks, PFF hates Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, we use Pro Football Focus to set these. So we have Pro Football Focus make all the non-Saints picks, and they set the board. And yeah, since the last time we did a mock draft, Shedeur Sanders has fallen drastically down Pro Football Focus's boards. And I think that's probably indicative of reality to some extent. I don't know if it's as significant as they're making it. He was on the board in the second round of both of our mocks, which is kind of strange. But yeah, we'll see. Either way, let's share yours up here. And we will get to it off the bat. Let's just start. I'll just go through the first eight picks, and because I don't think there's a ton to talk about. Like, obviously, as we mentioned, Shedeur Sanders is not here anymore. He was up there in the first mock that we did. He is now way down the board. But Cam Ward to the Titans at number one overall. I think Cam Ward's going to go number one overall. It's just a question of
if it's the Titans. Right.
So, you know, I still think the Giants are going to trade up from three. Like, if the Titans desperately want Cam Ward, then they're going to get Cam Ward, obviously. It's their decision to make. But they're going to have to turn down, in my opinion, a pretty significant offer from the Giants because you can then draft at three and get Abdul Carter, right? Because that's who the Giants took at three. Either way, Cam Ward, number one. The Browns take Travis Hunter at number two. So a lot of Colorado going on. Abdul Carter to the Giants at number three. You know, no major surprises. Armand Membu to the Patriots.
Seems a little high right here.
That does. It does seem a little high. And, you know, he has been flying up board, so I wouldn't be stunned to see him go high in the draft. To have him go all the way at four would feel like a pretty steep jump. And so I think what you've seen since the last time we did a mock draft, a lot of opinions have changed. Obviously, the combine happened. Membu had a great combine, I believe, you know, based on it's tough because what is a great combine, right? Like it's, you know, like he ran around really well and, you know, so interviews and whatnot, but we don't really know what happened in the interviews. And anyway, so this draft has Armand Membu at number four, Mason Graham to the Jaguars at number five, Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders at number six.
It's not like his stock was low, but I feel like he's definitely gained a lot of momentum where a lot of folks are thinking that Jeanty won't even be around for the Saints at nine.
We'll see. I mean, it's always tough to gauge.
Yeah, right.
You know, it seems like every year teams change their tune on, you know, running backs and the value. I do think if there was a year that a running back was going to jump up, it'd probably be this one, just because we've seen suddenly the value of running backs and Josh Jacobs with the Packers and Saquon Barkley with the Eagles. But teams will forget that the reason those guys are on those teams is because the teams that drafted them don't have them anymore. Right. So anyway, Derrick Henry with the Ravens. But like, again, those are free agent signings. So if you're looking at them and be like, oh, we need that running back as the key. It's not. Raiders to Ashton Jeanty. Now that you have Geno Smith, maybe you start to build around him even more. You know, obviously you took Brock Bowers, but anyway, I don't know. We'll see. Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders at 6. Will Campbell to the Jets at number 7. Mykal Williams to the Panthers at number 8. And up at number 9.
Ding, 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 ding.
I've gotten better at it.
The New Orleans Saints select wide receiver from Arizona State, Tet McMillan. Arizona, not Arizona State.
Arizona, sorry. Yeah, I was going to say.
I got the other running back, though, later on from Arizona State. My bad.
You don't spoil it. What are you doing? Gosh, where's the suspense? Where's your sense of drama? Anyway, Tet McMillan, what, why? Tell me why.
I just feel like with the moves they've made so far, what stood out to me that was on the board at the time was just McMillan right at the top there staring at me, a huge target for this offense. You know, the Saints have a guy, Chris Olave, who could use, you know, a compadre there on the outside. And I think you could put Rashid Shaheed then back as a number 3 receiver. And I just feel like McMillan can be an all pro. And I don't think he's going to need this developmental time in the NFL. I think it can be an instant impact for this team and just a valuable piece for an offensive coach in Kellen Moore, who I think would do wonders with him. And it would be, you know, more and more I think about it, excited about this pick coming to New Orleans. I think Saints fans, he'd be immediate who that favorite.
Yeah, I think one of the things you have going for you when you're talking about a big-bodied wide receiver is that's one of the skill sets that tends to transfer immediately. Yeah. Like with the smaller guys, you have to adjust to the physicality and the pace and, you know, some of the complex route designs. You know, you can run a goal line fade, you can run a goal line fade, right? Like, I hate goal line fades, end zone fades, but like the skill set is there. Like using that big body is there, and he does it well. That's what I like about him, is he plays to his size well. And he's also got the athleticism. I think if he's on the board, it's going to be really tough to say no. In part because it's like, hey, who's, you don't have a guy like that. Like, you don't have a physical receiver who can just, you can just throw to in a phone booth and he's going to go up and get it. He's going to go win. So I could definitely see that. And the other thing that, you know, you're looking at here is, okay, Ashton Jeanty's off the board. So if you were an Ashton Jeanty lover, he's gone. Will Campbell's off the board, you know, Mason Graham's off the board. Armand Membu,
who I thought would be around for the Saints.
Membu?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So he's off the board. Two tackles are off the board. So you can't even say like, well, I want to get the top tackle. Well, he's not there. So I think the way this shaped up, unless you were big on Shamar Stewart or Tyler Warren, who are the next two picks.
I thought you were going to go with another SS and Shedeur Sanders.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, Shedeur is a whole other conversation and quarterback's a whole other conversation. Mel Kiper has the Saints taking Jackson Dart at number 9. So, you know, and he seems pretty confident in that. But I don't see it either way. You know, like that's the question here. What do you want? Do you want a tight end? I don't think number 9 is the spot where you really want to be going after a tight end as good as Tyler Warren is. Do you want an edge rusher? Mykal Williams, if he was your guy, he's gone. Shamar Stewart, not the production that you probably want to see in college isn't there, but the athleticism is. So I don't know. I think you could go a few different ways.
Campbell was definitely on my limited, you know, my board when I'm looking at things that were left when the Saints run the clock, just because I feel like that's still a big need for this Saints defense.
Yeah, and he's a guy who can move inside, outside, which I think finding guys who can both play linebacker and rush the passer, right, who can drop into coverage and rush the passer is going to be something that over the next few years you have to look at a lot more, assuming you stick with this Brandon Staley defense for the course of several seasons. And so, yeah, he's the guy who NFL.com, Daniel Jeremiah had going to the Saints in his most recent mock. Okay. So there is some idea that that would make sense. Like I said, Tyler Warren went to the 49ers with the 11th pick. Shamar Stewart went to the Bears with the 10th pick. Mike Green out of Marshall went to the Colts with the 14th pick.
Question with the PFF picking, I mean, obviously you don't have the answer, but it's like, would the Niners really do that with Kittle?
Yeah, I don't think this mock draft system is really worried about players on teams. It's kind of just figuring it out, but probably not. I think when you have a guy like Kittle, you probably would focus on a different position. But either way, Jahdae Barron goes to the Dolphins at 13. A guy who's kind of flying up boards that I find interesting. He's Nick Amonwori out of South Carolina. He goes to the Falcons. He's probably the most athletic player in the draft. Pretty high for a safety. Will Johnson, who's fallen down a little bit, cornerback out of Michigan, went to the Cardinals with the 16th pick. Another edge rusher, two edge rushers in a row. Donovan Isiraku, Boston College, goes to the Bengals at 17. Jalen Walker goes to the Seahawks at number 18.
I feel like Walker's kind of gone down there a bit.
Yeah, I think you see some sliding up and down with these guys. Kenneth Grant goes to the Bucks at 19. And you know, we're kind of going through. Tyler Booker is the top guard off the board. Goes to the Texans out of Alabama. I don't think the Saints are going to be in on him because he's got like one of the lowest RAS scores I've ever seen in my life. He's like in the threes. Like Tyler Booker, his RAS score, like let's find it.
Not the Riz, the Raz.
The Raz. He scored at a 3.93 out of 10 on the RAS. He's got long arms. He ran a 5.38 40-yard dash. I'm pretty sure I could run a 5.38 40-yard dash.
He was just throwing it in that day.
Yeah. His explosion grade is bad. He's got good size, and that's about it. But at 6'4", 321, I kind of want to see more than 21 reps on the bench press. Anyway, so definitely, you know, I think for better or worse, the Saints would typically be looking at athleticism metrics for their offensive line spots. We've seen that. Like, that's been very well documented, and I don't think that that's going to change for Tyler Booker. So seeing him go off the board as a guy who wants an offensive lineman, an interior offensive lineman, I don't mind that. But let's go further. So Luther
Pierce
Burden
was another popular pick for the Saints for a while.
Who?
James Pierce from Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, edge rusher is going to be a popular pick, and I'd still be surprised if they don't get an edge rusher, to be completely honest. Shadur in this mock is the first pick in the second round. So he's at the Drew Brees slot, if you will.
Cleveland with Travis Hunter and Shadur. Go Browns.
Yeah, that would be kind of a fun, Amazon Prime series that I'm sure they'd put together. Jaden Higgins, wide receiver out of Ohio State, goes to the Titans. He's high on my board. Gray Zabel, North Dakota State. He's listed as a tackle, but I think he's an interior line guy, so he would be a guy the Saints, I think, would be looking at. If he got all the way to 36, you might trade up a couple spots to try to get him. Josh Connerly, another tackle, goes off the board at 38 to the Patriots. Nick Scowerton, edge rusher, goes to Texas A&M. This would be a drop for him. So, you know, I think if the Saints don't go edge rusher in the first round, if this guy's on the board at 39, it's another situation where like, Patriots, maybe you want to make a call. But the problem is you don't know. You don't know if the Bears are going to take him. Either way, we are on to the Saints' second round pick. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
From the University of South Carolina, defensive tackle TJ Sanders going to the black and gold. Get some interior D-line help, please.
What about TJ Sanders you like?
Big dude, really solid against the run, and I just feel like, you know, pass rush will still be something to work on. But he's given it all he can every play too. Just a high motor kind of guy.
Yeah, 6'3", 297. You know, he's not really a nose tackle build. So he'd be kind of a defensive end pick. He could probably get a little bigger. He might be able to fit in there. It's tough for me to know what they're going to prioritize at this point.
Right.
Right after him,
the Bears getting Tyleek. That was someone I was going back and forth between TJ and Tyleek, honestly.
Yeah. So, like, say what you want about any of these guys. I think defensive tackle is something that the Saints are going to be looking at in this draft. Like, they did trade for Devon Gotcha. So you have an idea, like, you don't need to draft a guy who's going to play on day one. And I think that's helpful.
Yeah.
But I think you still need to kind of find some prospects who can fit into some of those interior line spots for sure. So I like that pick. Passed on Jackson Dart. Could have got Jackson Dart in the second round. You didn't. Not a Jackson Dart guy.
No, even though my son loves Jackson Dart, I'm just not impressed. And we'll see what happens with him in the NFL. I do think he will be a day two selection. I don't have him as going in round one.
Yeah, it's tough. It's hard to believe there isn't going to be a team in the back end of the first round who really likes Jackson Dart.
But right,
the
problem maybe is, trade up even.
The problem is, like, who's going to make that pick? Like, you know, the Bills don't need a quarterback. The Chiefs don't need a quarterback. The Eagles don't need a quarterback. The Commanders don't need a quarterback. The Lions, maybe, you know, Jared Goff's getting a little older. Ravens don't need.
Still got that kid from Tennessee though.
Hendon Hooker. Yeah. But I mean, sure. He's not going to be a reason you don't draft a quarterback. So, like, the Lions are one of the, I'm just saying, like, the Lions could be a guy. Like,
sure. Yeah.
Like, the Commanders have a second-year star in Jaden Daniels. Like, Josh Allen is the answer for the foreseeable future, right?
Rams, maybe.
The Rams, yes. The Rams definitely could draft a quarterback, given where Matthew Stafford is in his career. Texans, no. Vikings just signed Sam Darnold.
They got McCarthy still.
The Vikings have McCarthy, and it looks like they might sign Aaron Rodgers. Like, Packers to Jets to Vikings trail might get Trout again, which is crazy.
I laugh at folks getting mad at Rodgers going, what's he waiting for?
You know, what's his rush?
Right, exactly. That's Chargers, my question.
Chargers don't need a quarterback. Steelers could draft a quarterback. Broncos don't need a quarterback. Bucks could draft a quarterback. I don't think they will.
You're right.
Seahawks just signed Kirk Cousins. Not Kirk Cousins.
No.
Sam Darnold.
Right.
Who is essentially Kirk Cousins. Anyway, so Bengals aren't drafting a quarterback.
Right, maybe there's a team that moves up into the late round of the first to grab Dart, but I don't see him going, honestly, in day one of the draft.
Yeah, like, if the Giants don't get a quarterback in the first round, do they trade up to, like, 29
right,
and go get him? Same thing with the Browns, which the Browns got Shadur. So it's an interesting conversation. Let's fast forward to Davey Restrepo goes to the Texans at number 58. You passed on Jack Besh, which I'm disappointed in because I want Jack Besh, but
I hear you. I definitely thought about him, but I had Tet already that I drafted. I was like, I don't need another wide receiver.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Yeah, if you go wide receiver, you're not going wide receiver, that'd be kind of
right.
Landon Jackson goes to the Falcons at 46.
Although you never know. Maybe Kellen Moore does.
Yeah, you're in the range here for some interesting running back options. Quinshon Judkins goes to the Seahawks at 50. Like Caleb it. Johnson out of Iowa goes to the Broncos. Junkins? I like Judkins, but I like the other Ohio State running back better, Trevion Henderson. I think.
Gotcha.
Braden Swenson at LSU goes to the Packers at 54. Trevion Henderson goes to the Panthers at 57, so they're kind of right there. Like I said, Xavier Restrepo, wide receiver out of Miami that I really like, goes to the Texans. So let's fast forward to the third round. Jalen Milroe, the first pick of the third round of the Giants, quarterback at Alabama. I think that's a good spot for him.
I think that's a good pick right there. Yeah.
In general, like if you're looking at Jalen Milroe, you should be looking to get him day two or day three, like late day two. Early day three, third round, fourth round, and develop the hell out of him, and maybe he becomes a guy, right? If I'm taking him in the second round, I'm reaching. All right. Elijah Arroyo goes off the board right before the Saints pick at number 71. Who's your guy, Steve? Who's your guy?
Well, did Arizona in the first round, and now in this round going Arizona State running back Cam Scataboo, dude that's 5'11", 215, can run between the tackles, also decent receiver for you. Just love the whole makeup of this cat and think he'd be an awesome addition for Kellen Moore's offense.
Yeah, I do think running back needs to be on your radar. Cam is interesting, and you know, again, another Cam from Arizona. You know, I don't know. It's kind of
weird.
There you
go, right?
But Scataboo. He's a fun guy to watch. Definitely
fun name to say too.
I don't know how he fits. How he fits the offense. He'd be kind of an interest. He'd be an interesting complement to Kamara. He'd be a guy. Whatever running back you draft, I think you should draft a running back is going to be there pushing Kendre Miller. And if Kendre can't hack it, I think Kendre's done. Like year two, I think you're guaranteed a spot. Right. Like, I don't think you're going to get cut year two for really any reason, unless like you're begging to get cut. Whereas year three, I think, you know, a lot of that guaranteed money on your contract's gone. Like, if you're not getting it done, the team could move on from you. And so I think that's Kendre Miller. This would be kind of hopefully be a wake up call for him if you take a running back like this. All right. Moving on. Kyle Kennard goes off. Yeah, you know, if Kyle Kennard was still on the board in the third round, I'd look at it. I think edge rusher is one that, you know, if you can find a prospect on day two who could potentially be, you know, a mid to high second round pick, I think that would be tough to pass on, just knowing what you need, your needs at the position. Dylan Sampson, another running back out of Tennessee, goes to the Cowboys. Ozzie Chipilo, whose father played for the Saints, goes to the Patriots, tackle out of Boston College. Moving on, Mason Taylor goes off the board to the Texans at number 79. We're getting closer to the Saints pick, which the Saints pick is the Commanders pick that they traded in the Marshawn Lattimore trade. Chris Paul Jr. went from being a point guard to a linebacker for Ole Miss. Now going on. The problem is you get with three-round mocks, you get so far down that it's like, I could tell you all these picks, but who knows where they're going to be.
No, right. I agree. That's why with those 7-round mocks, I'm like, I don't know how the hell people do it.
I mean, it's all a guess.
Yeah.
DJ Giddens at Kansas State goes to the Seahawks, a pick before the Saints. And then at 93, da-da-ding, ding, ding, ding. Saints are on the board. Who you got?
We are addressing the offensive line here. Out of West Virginia, Wyatt Millum. And I know he's listed as a tackle. Projecting that, you know, come to the pros, they might decide to move him inside. Definitely a guy I feel like can, you know, those snaps against or helping with the run game and, you know, the pass blocking for him. Feel like, you know, this 6'6", 317 dude could definitely help out along the O-line, looking to develop some help along there. And if it's push Trevor Penning, great. If it's to, you know, fill a role on the interior side of the O-line as well, great. Just looking for, you know, another viable body that can, you know, end up protecting the QB and open up some lanes for that offense.
Yeah, you know, this late in the draft, You know, if you're waiting until your fourth pick to take that offensive lineman, I think you're taking a developmental guy. You know, if you're drafting a guy you expect to start, I think you would end up going earlier. I think if you're drafting this guy, if you're drafting Milam, who I don't know a ton about, I'm going to be completely honest.
Yeah, some of the things I you know, looking up some stats on him or, you know, the scouting reports, one of the knocks is he's too upright in his stance and could cause some balance issues. But, you know, when he squares his shoulders, he's a good anchor on that O-line.
Yeah, no, and I think you do need to keep adding bodies to that offensive line. But if you're drafting a guy at the end of the third round is probably a sign that you're going to go try to find somebody to sign or have already signed somebody, right? Like, I don't think he's your starter is my point. Now, Nick Saldivari's there. He could be your starter. One of these other guys could win that job, but I don't know. Like, there's going to be enough veteran free agents out there, like a Lucas Patrick, for example.
Yeah.
That I think you do have to go find one of those guys. But all right. So Wyatt Milam is your, is it Milam? Is it Milam? Do you know? Have you looked it up?
I went with Milam, just going with the LSU baseball player's pronunciation.
Spelled differently, though.
Right.
His is like M-I-L-A-M, Stephen Milam.
Milam, anyway, maybe. Okay.
So, the Saints, in your mock, have selected Ted McMillan at number nine overall, right. The Saints' first pick. T.J. Sanders, defensive tackle out of South Carolina, at number 40. Cam Scadabo at number 71, running back at Arizona State, and then Wyatt Milam, tackle out of West Virginia. PFF gave you an A. The only pick it gave you below an A on was a B minus for Milam. I don't know.
I know, whatever the rankings. I was surprised that the pick of Scadabu was an A plus.
Yeah, the problem I have with the PFF grades is all you have to do to get an A plus is to take whatever the top option they give you is. Because that's like, that's what they think, you know? like they're grading you based on their board, but who's to say their board's right?
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I never take the grades like a lot. Like there's some questions I have in these rankings. Like I don't buy a few of them. But either way, let's call that again. Like I said, so Ted McMillan, T.J. Sanders, Cam Scadabo, Wyatt Milam. Those are your four picks in Mock Draft 2.0. And we'll come back later on in the offseason and get you 3.0. But for now, let's hit the break, come back, do one more mock draft, and get out of here. Again, this is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. Stick around.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.